Welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor.
Thanks, Fred. This is Sean, and I'm pleased to present the podcast version of the most recent live performance of The Spotlight with Sean Taylor. On April 17, 2007, the spotlight shines on folks that have been on television for sports-related reasons. First up is Will Nunziata, who talks about his appearance on SNY's Mets Weekly. Afterward, Maddie Mako discusses her experience on CBS's coverage of the 1997 Fiesta Bowl. But first up, this is Will Nunziata.
Are you a lifelong Mets fan?
Lifelong Mets fan.
So, the fact that you had an opportunity to be on TV, not just on TV, but on Mets Weekly, had to be
a
dream come true.
Yeah, it was like, it's the coolest acting gig that I've ever done. Like, hands down. I got the call at work that morning that we were going to shoot. They were like, is there any way you could be here by about, yes, I could be there. And I in the video, I'm like, so you can see I'm like a little bit sweaty. I headed down there as soon as possible. I was there early.
I'd like to see the video. You want to see the video?
Is there a way to do that?
Delgado homering for the third straight game here in this pitcher's ballpark in San Diego.
If you haven't noticed, Carlos Delgado has this little diary that he keeps, that he writes in after every at-bat.
Dear diary, I love the hanging slider.
Okay, well, here's an entry from just last week.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't written in a while. Hit a home run the other day.
Okay.
I think I'm the best player in Major League Baseball.
Oh, well, that's good. He has confidence.
Dear diary, I struck out today. It's okay, though. This is what happens in baseball. My teammates were there to cheer me up. Then I ate some sunflower seeds, and it was all better.
Here's a drawing of him riding a pony, hitting a home run.
I think that's a really good drawing, actually. I think that's a unicorn.
Is that I thought that was his bat.
It's a horn.
It's a horn.
That's weird. Dear diary, I've been looking at those buy one Carlos, get another Carlos free posters, and I'm wondering, am I the first Carlos, or am I the second Carlos? I don't know. I'm just going to hit another home run. Love, Carlos Delgado.
There's a drive to deep right center field, way back, Carlos Delgado.
That's pretty funny stuff. Dear diary.
Yeah.
I struck out today.
I'm sad. I'm Carlos Delgado. I make $12 billion.
So how much time did you have from when they told you that we're going to talk about Carlos Delgado?
I brought props. What they gave me, I got there.
We have a prop too. You'd like to take a bite out of your rock or two.
They gave me a list of topics that they're going to talk about 15 minutes before we went on. So I had an idea of the questions that they were going to ask, and I just dug this up. And they left me no time, pretty much. It was just, this is what we're going to talk about. Go for it. And they just watch. It's like, oh.
So I'm also a Mets fan ever since 86.
Oh, I know.
Since I was on the 86 Mets, the Civitan Little League in San Bernardino. We didn't have the same luck that the other 86
yeah.
Mets did. And,
few teams do. Few teams do.
But I'm kind of curious as to what are some of the other topics.
We talked about Mike Piazza coming back and playing the Mets. We talked about Julio Franco being the oldest baseball player to ever hit a home run, and my joke was Huli old, Frank old. And I thought I was really clever. I thought it was going to catch on and get a pop culture sensation. I could turn it on ESPN Sports Center and they'd be like, Huli old Franco, thanks Will Muziana. And this is why Mets Weekly. He changed their life, but it happened. And it did change my life.
Did you have, and I think that one made it to the air. I saw the whole Mets Weekly, and I was mesmerized. Even though it was last year, I was like, man, I hope they go all the way last year. Because
yeah.
You know, it was right in the beginning of the season that this one aired.
Yeah, this was about a year ago, like this week, actually. It was May, it was happiness. You know, it was like hopes and dreams and butterflies and Carlos Delgado's, and it was tough come October. It was real tough come October.
Did you have anything that you said, though, as far as some of those other topics that didn't make it to air, that you were like,
Yeah, all the unfunny stuff.
Oh, really? They were pretty good then at picking out the good stuff.
Yeah, and they picked some stuff that really wasn't that good. Like, they did a shot of me not knowing that Tom Seaver was in the Hall of Fame. I was like, yeah, Tom Seaver's not in the Hall of Fame. The producer was like, yes, he was. I'm like, no, this won't make it to air. Then I'm watching it, and there's me going, this won't make it to air. It's like, thanks, Mets Weekly.
So there was another part of the broadcast later on that has to do with, if any Mets fans are out there, you guys are probably aware of Cowbell Man.
Cowbell Man.
How would you describe what Cowbell Man does?
Cowbell Man is this guy. He's at every single Met game, and he has a jersey that says Cowbell Man on the back. And he walks around with a cowbell, and he just bangs it. And he has certain bangs and clangs for any situation that's happening. And you can hear him at any point in the stadium. And he's a Shea celebrity. So they interviewed him, and then I said some stuff.
So you probably want to know what stuff Will said about Cowbell Man, right?
Don't we?
It's time to tribute the man who brings the music.
Why? We cheer him on, and it's nice that he's out here getting everyone to cheer for the Mets.
He's got a great gimmick. You know, you get a jersey with your name on the back that says Cowbell Man. You're allowed into every game. You're allowed to ring your cowbell when everyone else wants to pay attention. You know, you can bang that cowbell, and everyone's like, oh, it's Cowbell Man. I don't care. He's adorable.
I love him. I like the noise.
Here we go.
That's what gets you out.
Does he have to buy tickets? If I get a cool jersey, can I get into every game? Can I be Trombone Man and play a trombone? Wah, wah, wah. Let's go Mets. I'm Trombone Man. See my jersey? I want season tickets. Everyone loves trombones.
And now it's pretty good, but you wouldn't expect to get hate mail. And I did get hate mail, and it was forwarded, I have no idea how I got it, it's from vincerock950@aol.com. This is written in all caps. First of all, how dare you try to make fun of the Calvo Man, when in fact, if you look as good as him, you would not criticize. You should not hate on people that look 100 times better than you. Don't throw stones. Look in the mirror. We are very big fans of the Calvo Man, and it's not nice to have haters, still, hatters, like you trying to make him look so bad. So I got that, and I was like, that's awesome. I never got hate mail. So then I wrote a letter back. It was lengthy because I was angry and was like, something's going to be hate mail. And so I'll just give you some highlights. I love the Mets. I'm a New York Mets fan. I love Cowbell Man. I'm one of the biggest Cowbell fans whenever he graces my section at the game. He's a great addition for the atmosphere at Shea. As a matter of fact, Shea wouldn't be as great without him. Very nice. Now, I also said something like the above during my interview for the Mets Weekly show, but they didn't put it in. It's not my fault. Blame the editors. I'm a comedian. They hired me to be funny on the show. I never once bad-mouthed Cowbell Man. I did a little. This is where I was getting rude. Keep in mind, sir, Vince Rock 950, that I am a comedian. They don't put nice things they say on TV. They put funny things. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings or feelings of Cowbell Man. Please send my regards. And then I got a response. And we dropped the all caps, and now it's just all lowercase with no punctuation. No problem. You had said something about Trombone Man, and I felt really bad for Cowbell. We just refer to him as Cowbell Man. Because he is just there to amuse the crowd, and by you saying that it felt to me that he wears, W-A-R-E-S, the Cowbell Man shirt to get free tickets, if you knew what the hell he goes through to get tickets, you would reconsider that phrase. I am his sister, Vince Rock 950, and it made...
Sorry. If I'm not mistaken, you cracked up the producer at that moment, right?
Yeah. It was a fun time in the studio. I was probably in there for like 45 minutes. and just riffing on the Mets and making an ass of myself and all that. Yeah.
Well, what are the chances that you might go back? Because, like, that was some pretty good stuff.
Zero.
Oh, was it a one time?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. I did two things for the channel, but the whole idea of the show has changed now, and the producer that I knew, I think, got fired for doing a show like that one. That wasn't exactly like Met highlights. It was like snarky comments. And, yeah, Mets brass didn't like it, so he's gone. So, and he's the one who has my phone number.
Well, sports and comedy don't really mix
well. Yeah, apparently.
Well, sports and haters.
That's right. Or hatters.
Or hatters.
Man, I like that you can love the Mets this much and yet still be the one person who's ridiculed the, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what being a Mets fan's all about. It's being, you know, it's you know, you love the Mets so much that you can bash the Mets. It's like, it's all right. Like, if someone else bashes the Mets, it's like, no, screw you. Can you curse?
Yeah.
Screw you. And you'd say to people, and screw you. And, you know, but if you're a Met fan, it's like, ah, the Mets are going to suck this year. I love you. You know, it's like for some reason that works. We're going to be miserable forever.
Well, I'm impressed. This year's still young. I mean, there's some pretty good... I don't want to get too far into the Mets, but like I think that they said there was going to be a poor rotation, yet...
Can I make a prediction?
Yes.
World Series win. Who's with me?
Yeah!
We're here first, April 17th. From Bo and Mayer. Yeah.
I thought that after you said that, because it's so funny, there was going to be someone showing up at the park with the trombone, or maybe four or five people.
Yeah, just like, that's my gimmick! How'd you get tickets?
I love that, it may have been 2 years ago at this point, they had a slogan, the New York Mets, it was like, this year's the year, or
yeah,
something like that. And it's just like, alright, you guys can use that once, and then when you don't win, if you don't win,
well,
that's it. What are you going to do? You can use it again the next year?
Well, the thing with the slogans is they changed, for like, a couple years ago, it was, you gotta believe.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's my fault. Like, you know, and like, the next year, it's like, you didn't believe, that's why we lost, Wilder Ziada. It's like, why aren't you believing next year? And then it's, you know, our team, our time was last year. So, and it was wrong. It was the Cardinals' turn.
Somebody needs to be like this middle of the road, just sort of like, maybe?
Yeah.
Show
maybe.
Up! Show up, Reagan!
Like a lottery. Like a dollar a dream.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
You know, there's probably some other teams in the league that would probably be like, you never know. Roll the die.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Please.
So do you think, this is a question, I guess, sort of just for sports fans in general, Shafiq, you can...
Yeah.
Out of the sidecar.
Beep, beep.
And then you...
We're having fun.
Do you think that having, you know, like, rooting for them, like, having fans out there helps them win?
Sure. Do I believe that? Sure. Is it true?
Yeah.
Oh, during this at-bat, they'll hit a home run. That's what happened last time, right? You know, it's like, you just get crazy and you think it's all about me, apparently.
Well, it does become a pretty... I get superstitious, too. Like, when I was there for, like, a string of wins, and this is, like, 2 years ago, and that wasn't such a great season. I think that was... they were just hitting 500, I think.
Right, yeah.
But then when they would lose, because I kept going, I went like 9 games, and when they'd lose, I'd be like, ah, my nemesis is here.
Yeah.
Going in it.
Where is he?
So guy, because in Mets games, it does like bad luck things for the team.
Yeah.
To
the anti-cowbell man.
We have another guest who was here, who was also on TV.
Really?
For a sports related, and you know what? Cable's great. SNY is great. This guest was on CBS.
Big time.
CBS's coverage of the Fiesta Bowl, not just the Fiesta Bowl, but the 1997 Fiesta Bowl. So please welcome Matty Mako. Thank you, Matty, for coming to the show. Man, so you were at the 1997 Fiesta Bowl. Not only were you at it, you were on TV.
I was on TV, yeah.
And just to remind people, this is the same one where Peyton Manning made a name for himself, right?
I don't know if it was where he made a name for himself, but I believe he played in it. He lost. He was on the losing team, as far as I understand it.
So who were the teams playing in the Fiesta Bowl for the folks that don't remember, even though I made the clip last night?
It was Penn State Nittany Lions versus the Texas Longhorns.
The Nittany Lions?
The Nittany Lions, yeah.
And then against the Longhorns. Mm-hmm. And so I guess Peyton was a Longhorn.
Sure. Is there someone here that can tell me that? I believe that he was a Longhorn, yeah.
But more importantly, you were on TV. And this is CBS, Fiesta Bowl. I mean, this is
probably
right
on television. There were probably, you know, I'm going to say there were millions of people watching. I don't know if that's true. But maybe.
Fiesta Bowl was one of the top bowl games.
Yeah, I think this was actually before... I can't remember. It was a million years ago. But it might be before the BCS, so it wasn't one of like...
What's BCS?
The Bowl Championship Series.
What? Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. I was letting that speak now.
Oh, it's the Bowl Championship Series, magically.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, if you're any fan of college football, which I am, the Bowl Championship Series is now they have the number one team plays the number two team in one a specific bowl every year, and it moves around between the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the Orange Bowl, I believe. Like, each year one of those is the championship game.
Well, I think I want to see you on TV. So okay. let's go to that clip. Let's see, 1997, Fiesta Bowl.
Superstar.
Penn State versus the Texas Longhorns.
And what a quarterback.
How much did you get paid for that?
Oh, no, I just did that out of the goodness of my heart. That was that was all Penn State fan, you know, Penn State pride. That was it. I got paid in the enjoyment of being in Tempe, Arizona.
So, like, I saw that very clearly. But I'm looking around the audience, and I'm starting to see a little, you know, confused looks. But why don't we just show that clip again? And maybe just be focusing, and you see who you're looking for, right? And now, let's watch that clip.
There's
been a lot of speculation as to whether he'll return to the University of Tennessee or whether he'll come out to the NFL draft. There's another timeout on the field, and we'll be right back. And we'll be right back.
There you are.
I touched the Nittany Lion right after the camera went away, but whatever.
What was at that moment though? Like the lion's coming through, right?
Yeah, it's coming up the stands.
Were you excited?
I was not low in the stands either. So it had been passed up the stands, or he had been passed up since. I was pretty excited. It was not in my seat during that time. I was my seat was further over, but I was worried. The lion was coming. There weren't enough students to fill that space. I had to run over to fill the space so the lion wouldn't fall.
Oh,
that
wow.
That would have been embarrassing.
You're a hero.
It really...
You are.
Well, thank you. I am. I'm a hero. No. I'm not a hero.
How often did you go to Penn State games?
Let's see. Everyone I could after my freshman year. I didn't know when I went to Penn State. You have to buy your tickets like before you get there, the year before you get there. And I didn't know that I would care. So I didn't buy a ticket. My mom got the mailer that said, you know, football tickets. And she was like, you want football tickets? And I was like, no, why do I care about football? But then I cared a lot when I got there. I don't know, there's something in the water. They make you... like need to be there and love it, and like I just didn't think I would be like a person that would be really in love with their college, and I totally am, and I go back and visit all the time. So pretty much I went to like 3 games my freshman year, and I never missed one after that.
Not bad.
And I go back every year or every other year for a game as an alum, and then I get drunk and I try to pretend like everyone can't tell that I'm 30.
Did during that game, did you know you were on camera?
I had no idea.
How did you find out?
I found out in two ways. I think my father had taped the game, and he said that he thought he saw me. And when I got back to school at my job, everyone was like, hey, we saw you on TV. And when I finally saw the tape, my dad taped it, I was like, how did anyone see me on TV? I don't even know how they could have possibly picked me out of the crowd. But everyone was like, how was the festival? I was like, how did you know that I was at the festival? They were like, we saw you. We saw you in the crowd. There you were. Alright, I guess. Like, I was assuming that you could barely see me. I go like this to my nose. I've got my hand like over my face.
Is it shown at parties? And I know when I went home for Christmas, it was like, Willie, show your tape.
Oh, yeah.
Show your tape to the whole family.
You're right. My dad showed it. Like, yeah, my dad showed it at some family gathering. And it was like, yeah, look at the tape. The tape of Madeline.
I realize, I want to ask you more questions about it, but watching it this time, now I realize that they were talking about
Tennessee. I know. Me too.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of liars.
That's like, oh man, Peyton Manning.
He played for Tennessee. He did not play for Texas.
But in that clip, they keep talking. Well, I'm the one who suggested it, so my bad. But I know that currently he plays for the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really sure of it. You know, that is fun. I'm really a huge baseball fan. It doesn't correspond to other sports. So, like, does it? Are there any sports that you obviously you like college football? Mm-hmm. Are there any other sports that you really, really enjoy?
I enjoy baseball. I'm a Mets fan. I am a weird Mets fan because this is like the good time for the Mets, but I don't pay attention to like much later in the season, and so it's like I'm always like, yeah,
when they
thought
that,
last year
they go to the end now.
They go to the end sometimes, but yeah, that's it. Baseball, and I used to be a hockey fan until they went on strike a million years ago, and then I stopped watching, and my dad watches soccer, but not American soccer, like on Spanish networks.
Mm-hmm.
So when he watches, I watch if I'm in his town. But otherwise, that's it.
Did you used to play sports when you were younger?
Yeah, I played soccer and tennis, and that's it. I was dancing.
Well, they don't have. Oh, now they have dance competitions, right?
Yeah.
Dance the Stars. And
So you think you can dance and stuff? Yeah. I'm ballet.
You should be on Dancing with the Stars because you were on that.
You were already a star.
I'm a star, yeah. Just as much as Heather Bell, so.
Yeah. More so.
You know, do they ever have any sports stars? They do have sports stars on Dancing with the Stars,
sure.
Right? Like the athletes themselves?
They're usually pretty good. Emmett Smith and Clyde Drexler, I think. I don't watch TV, but they can dance so well. They are so talented.
I
like the way they move.
Did I say that? Yeah, I don't watch TV.
Screw that.
Do you think that having a sports upbringing, it sounds like your dad was around sports a lot, influenced you and your, interest in professional sports and college?
Yeah, this is going to be an Oprah moment.
No one's ever cried on the spotlight.
I'm not going to cry. My dad watches TV very intensely. Like, he could be watching anything on television, and if you talk to him, you could say anything to him at all. And if like, seeing it now, or I don't understand Downs, he would not move his head, but he would tell you what was going on. He was like, oh, they have 4 chances to get 10 yards. And then after they get 10 yards, then they gotta keep going, you know. So, like, this was how I had conversations with my father. That's it. That's your Oprah moment. That's the only time my dad would ever talk to me. So, yeah. So, anyway, so that's how I got into sports. But also, I have 3 older brothers, and, and I didn't know I was a girl until I was 14. Not that girls can't like sports. They can do anything.
Well, I hesitate to mention this because I usually get groans, but I really like golf.
You like watching golf?
Yeah. Thank you for the groan. Especially when I say, I usually get groans. I definitely get groans.
You might be setting yourself up for that.
It's a great game. Now, I think the problem is they always call it sports. Sports Center, you know, it's less of a sport? Or what is your definition of sport? I throw that to you, both of our experts on the panel.
Well, being an expert on sports, what I have to say is, I think a sport is, person versus person or team versus team. The only sport that they call sport where I don't buy it so much is NASCAR, because that's like a machine. Right. Like the machine's doing all the work, not like a person, and they have radios.
What about a horse racing?
Horses are people too.
Yeah. Of course. It's like the athleticism of the horse more so than the person, or like the skill of the person driving that horse to run until it's last. Poor horses. Anyway.
Another Oprah moment.
Yeah, is that Oprah?
Sorry. Do you think that sports in general, are they a welcome and positive distraction or merely a distraction?
What?
I think I know what you're saying. And yes.
It's amazing to me how people can devote, I'll get hooked on a season of, 24, or lost something, if something is new every week, but to watch a game over and over again, I'm amazed by it, that, you can be so into a team, and be so committed to them, and follow them through for, hours and hours and hours commitment of a season for a sport. That, to me, is crazy.
Especially with a season like a baseball season, where there's 162 games.
Yeah.
And
each one's 4 hours, right?
It could be.
I mean,
if you're lucky.
Two to four hours. I guess it's Traxel, remember him? Right?
6 hour ordeal. It's two meals.
It's much more fun to go to the actual game and watch it there and, see it all happening and then play your side games with your people that you're with, or rather than seeing it on television. Although that's exciting.
You're talking about mound ball.
Mound ball.
What is mound ball?
You don't know mound ball? What?
Does it involve a mound?
I was only recently told the rules, but I love it.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised that I never told you about mound ball before. All right, mound ball is at the end of the inning, or you can play at the end of a half inning or something. And so the person that's holding the amount of money, if the ball ends up on the mound, gets it. So the next half inning, you pass the money down there, uh-huh. another dollar in. And at the end, if nobody wins, all that money goes to drinking for everyone.
Where else could the ball wind up?
Usually it ends up with the umpire. Or
the players toss it out.
I just like that it's another excuse for gambling. And that's always fun.
What were the conditions for the ball winding up on the mound?
It's supposed to.
Oh, it is.
Back in the when baseball, when it was it was only a dollar for a baseball, but that was worth $40, then that ball was they would use one ball. They would get, even when they hit a homer, they would get the ball back from the fans.
Okay.
And they'd be like, we got to use that ball.
I guess also to make sure the pitcher doesn't come out of the dugout with that bomb from Return of the Jedi, and doesn't threaten to blow up Mike Piazza. So the ump can keep an eye on that ball on the mound and win money, apparently, at the same time.
The umpire can't play.
Yeah, I wonder if the player talks to the umpire and the umpire's like, oh, this is my inning.
Yeah. It's him counting my value.
Yeah. $15. Anyway.
Do you know that every baseball is rubbed with Mississippi mud?
That's
perverted.
That's true.
I didn't know that.
Someone heard?
Oh, you didn't know.
Yeah. Thank you for
every baseball is Major League Baseball, or every... This is going to be a stupid question. I'm just going to finish it.
every baseball in the ever. World.
Every baseball in Major League Baseball.
Oh, I did not know that. Why?
Well...
I think it's... So every ball is completely identical. That's the ideal, condition for the baseball. You don't want a baseball this big one game and this big the other game. But it's give it the right grit and the right coat, and, baseball's 100 years old, and they figured out how to do it right.
And I think when it comes out, it's very white. The ball is extremely white, so they rub it with the mud, and it kind of dulls up the color a little bit, but not, it's still a pretty white ball.
So it doesn't blind anyone on its way to
So are there any questions out there from the audience that you want to ask our expert panel of sports stars? Good, so you guys are sports stars.
Yeah.
We're on TV doing sports. Yeah, they have a question?
Do you guys get recognized on the street?
Only by Sean Taylor. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And if my brother was walking down the street, I get recognized.
What if Cowbell Man were walking down the
Cowbell
street?
Man, sister.
I would run. I would run from Vince Rock from 950. Yeah, I would take off. They want me dead.
Is he on your buddy list?
Sean, I don't have a buddy list. I have found this out of my buddy list. That would be the ultimate though.
Yeah. You know, bring up the talk to him a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe smooth things over. I don't know if you're not the hatter that you came
from.
Yeah,
right.
Are there any other questions for our sports experts?
Was there a person in that suit?
The Lion.
Send me back! I'm supposed to be in the front of
No, he goes up the Lion. He goes up the stands, like, in every game.
It's a man in a suit being led around in a hot, sweaty suit, and he's just, like, basically, he has no peripheral vision.
Yeah.
He's just doing this for, like, an hour.
And being groped by thousands of people. Is there an opening for that job?
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
Hey, wins games.
You can't argue with that, John.
Right.
That's funny.
Any more questions before? Hey.
It is.
Does anyone want the apple once the show is done? Alright, so here's the apple now. He caught it. No one saw that, but he did catch it.
I saw it.
I tell you, ever since you mentioned the bomb from Return of the Jedi, I started thinking that maybe, just maybe, get that thing, you know.
Let's put it in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Any Yankee fans? Good.
We'll put thunderous applause.
Put cricket noises.
Well, I think that this about wraps up the Spotlight with Sean Taylor. I'd like to thank my guests, Will Nunziata.
Thank you.
Maddie Mako. My sidecar. Director Sean Amaro in the booth, Justin and Ryan, who helped out tremendously, Sean, Linda, and my mom on camera, Gotham City Improv, and everyone who came out to the show tonight. Thank you very much for coming to the Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast. If you have been on TV and want to be a guest, please visit our website at thespotlightwithseantaylor.com and follow the Be Our Guest link on the left side. If you want to be in the audience at the next show, come to Gotham City Improv, which is 48 West 21st Street at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May 15th. If you can't make that show, there's one more scheduled on May 29th. Same time.